Mini episode 1900 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
I'm going to bring up on the screen here what is going to be our list here. This is our tabulation list of what we have for everybody. And this is up now on fantasydrafthelp.com on the main page. So I will start by going through at this point. We've already run through the our bonus voting for most overrated QBs. Those are listed here as well. And for others receiving votes. And again, on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com for those who are partaking via audio, because it's one of these things I have to keep in my mind that this is now the audio video split as we're going on. Audio, wherever you get your podcasts, but video, if you're checking this out on YouTube, you're able to look at this from this point on here as we're going through on the tabulations along with us. And this is the first time that the fellas are seeing what the final tabulations were. Others receiving votes. So we have a point system here, basically from 1 to 10 on the voting. It's the same one from the aforementioned 2017 top 10 NBA players of all time. So 100 points if you were in first place, working all the way down to 25 points for 10th place, and then 10 points every time you showed up on an honorable mention. So working our way up here, 10 points apiece. These are the guys that only got named as honorable mention on one ballot, alphabetical order here. Sammy Baugh, Justin Herbert. Wait, I'll just say there's a little historical whiplash on eras, huh? Hearing those names back to back.
Sid Walker could sling it, but Sammy could, though.
Yeah, slinging Sammy Baugh. I keep saying I'm trying to make slinging Sammy Merrill a thing, Ben. I won't rest until I do. Sammy Baugh, Justin Herbert, Sid Luckman, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Y.A. Tittle, Doug Williams. These ones were listed on one ballot honorable mention. Two ballots honorable mention, 20 points, Jim Plunkett. Three ballots honorable mention, Jim Kelly, 30 points. Bart Starr, 35, so that tells me one honorable mention and one 10th place. Also, Matt Stafford, the same, 35 points. And Josh Allen, the same, 35 points. This is where it gets a little harder to figure without looking at the ballots where all these guys slotted. But Dan Fouts shows up next at 42 points. Eli Manning, 64. Roger Staubach, 68. And Warren Moon, 94. What's interesting is we get to a couple points along the way, and we'll get to this, you know, once we get into particularly the top 10, where there are some ones that are very, very, very close. Warren Moon at 94, the last of the five honorable mention, Terry Bradshaw with 95 points, Warren Moon 94. Can't get any closer than that. So on the others receiving votes, and I do want to note overall something that I would have been very, very surprised by, because I think I said to somebody earlier in the week, it might have been Johnny, I think I might have said, hey, guess how many quarterbacks have come up thus far? And I knew that the guess was going to be way off, and it was. Out of a potential 135 QBs, with nine of us potentially, you know, listing a different 15 guys, that could have been 135 potential quarterbacks. There were 31 guys who showed up on nine ballots. It is an incredible concentration that it was only 31 QBs. So as we're looking at the others receiving votes, Chris, I'll start with you as we work our way around. Thoughts on these guys who missed the honorable mention in the case of Warren Moon very, very narrowly?
He's another one that I struggled with. And, you know, I felt bad because so much of that career was wasted in the CFL. Mm-hmm. But I think could have been, achieving Super Bowls perhaps, and bigger and better stats. I think that's really the thing that affects him the most. It's interesting to me, like, you know, Jim Kelly, right? Like, mm-hmm. I brought him up just before this segment, and you know, you put Jim Kelly on the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh wow!
You know, mm-hmm. is Jim Kelly sitting there, right there, instead of Troy Aikman? I think so. Right. I think I always thought of those guys as pretty similar, you mm-hmm. know, pretty good quarterbacks, very similar. You know, so that's how I look at it. I mean, I look at a guy like Jim Plunkett. I mean, again, guys that I thought about, I have Jim Plunkett sort of in that 20 range, you know, on mine, which again, in terms of all time QBs, you're a Hall of Famer, right? I wasn't prepared to judge people like Matt Stafford and, you know, and Justin Herbert. And I'm not, you know, I'm not considering anybody like that right now. Not till they're, you know, they haven't done anything yet.
Right.
I mean, Stafford has done more than like Josh Allen. Right.
Right.
Certainly way more than Herbert. So, I mean, again, I put Mahomes in my top 10 because of what we've seen so far. There's a possibility that eventually Josh Allen gets there. You could make a case for Matt Stafford if he gets another Super Bowl this year. You could really give a case for Matt Stafford in the top 10, and you could hang a hat on it. But we're not there yet.
Maybe. Chris, and you mentioned Plunkett. In terms of early 80s reclamation, safe to say he was the Sam Darnold of his day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I see some similarities there myself. Perhaps Ben does as well. Ben, you had him on your list here. So your thoughts about the others receiving votes?
I'm just looking at this list. I mean, it is surprising to see Warren Moon whip that high, but I know everyone loved that run-and-shoot offense in Houston. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like his career is his whole coalescence, essentially. But people tend to forget he played for a long time. So this is more of a longevity scenario as well for him. But I am also intrigued to see Philip Rivers also on this list. I don't know who put him there just because I think he's also, if those San Diego Chargers teams ever got to a Super Bowl or won it, he would be much higher on this list.
Yes. Absolutely. But that's been the curse of the Chargers quarterbacks over a period of time, really. Herbert, Rivers, Fouts, you know, great offensive teams, but never really able to get over the hump. And I think I know who put him on the list here. Yes. Derek Allen did. He's the one he skewed the most modern, I think, in his list of the bunch here. So, yeah, I figured it was him, and it was. Johnny, your thoughts on these others receiving votes?
Well, I know just quickly on Fouts, you know, they were victim of the Holy Roller that one year, certainly.
Yeah.
Remember, they had to play that playoff game in Cincinnati when it was like sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah.
Certainly. But, and I would just jump over to Warren Moon. Now, he also played for Minnesota with Dennis Green and Robert Smith and Chris mm-hmm. Carter. It was a good team. But, overall, yeah, certainly Stafford is got room to grow here. He wins another Super Bowl. I could see him jumping right to the top 10. Mm-hmm. Plunkett was somebody I considered for my honorable mention, especially in terms of winning. Hard to predict with some of these guys going forward with like Herbert, even Josh Allen. I don't know if they're going to get anything done and make it. Their window, both their windows may be closing in the next year or two. We'll see. Now, who knows? Maybe they'll get a change of venue like Stafford and kind of reinvigorate their career. Rivers was one that played long enough, but you know, those Chargers quarterbacks, hard to believe Stan Humphries was the only one that played in a Super Bowl in the recent past. I mean, not so recent 90s, but
yeah.
But no, fascinating. It was good to see some of these names come up. I think it's Jim Kelly's another one, four straight Super Bowls. I mean, hard to believe they never got it done. I think it was Chris Berman that predicted for 10 straight years the Buffalo-San Francisco Super Bowl.
Yes.
He was wrong every year. So anyway.
He was. And, like, I just – it's hilarious that you know, it ends up being, you could, I always say you could win any bar bet in America here on this one. Like Stan Humphries was the one quarterback that took the Chargers to the Super Bowl. I mean, that would be like if by some fluke Craig Elo had the highest scoring game in Cavs history. And you're like, who's the guy that scored the most? It was Craig Elo. So,
I mean, Rick, also just to like bring up Stafford's numbers, because I just wanted to take a look. Like right now he has over, based on his career, over 64,000 yards,
yeah,
23 touchdowns, and only 128 interceptions in the regular season.
Well,
you look at those numbers, those are pretty much top 25 quarterback all-time numbers.
Yeah, I think so. But like,
even in this inflated NFL where everyone passes more.
Here's one of the things that I love about, you know, being here on the lounge with a panel like this. Like, you guys are going to get where I'm coming from with this. Like, I know I'm not hallucinating with this being the case, but like number one picks 08 and 09, like had that 28-3 game not happened or whatever, like I swear there were a lot of years where Stafford and Matty Ice were kind of running neck and neck, like the two Matts. Like one of them shows up here and one of them is basically sort of forgotten to history vis-a-vis any of this kind of stuff. So it's very interesting the way that this can go. The fact that Stafford was able to keep going physically for a longer period of time and have this rejuvenation that he's had here, which again, if this was baseball in the late 90s, perhaps we'd be raising eyebrows, but everybody's taking it at face value. He seems like a class act kind of a guy. No reason not to take it at face value, even if it was a little bit unusual to have your greatest year at like age 37. But I know I'm not hallucinating this, guys, that like him and Ryan were considered neck and neck for many years in the 2010s.
Well, I think Stafford landed in the recent past, landed with McVay, who I think is a terrific coach. And sure, as much as he passes, they run a lot as well.
Yeah.
Very balanced. They drafted well. Certainly buying low on Nacua. They bought low on Cooper Kupp. I mean, arguably, you know, best receiver of that year when he had the Triple Crown. I mean.
That's true. Yeah. And you know, again, circumstances where you're at. Matt Ryan being in Atlanta, which as we've seen with the recent shakeup here, they just haven't really been able to figure it out over a period of time. And that's really been an ongoing thing, that one Super Bowl run notwithstanding. Our honorable mention that we have here, Terry Bradshaw at 95 points, Kurt Warner 104, Troy Aikman 135, and then you get to the guys where they might have had a chance of making the top 10, Brett Favre 184, Drew Brees 252. It's interesting because, and I commented on this to Chris, that his ballot was the last one to come in last night as we're taping this here, and it was a different 8 through 11 at that point in time. Prior to Chris's last ballot coming in, it was Drew Brees 252 in 8th place. It was a tie for 9th between Otto Graham and Aaron Rodgers at 242. Steve Young missing out, being on honorable mention by 1 point at 241. So Chris's ballot at the end ended up reshaping all of this. Drew Brees would have made it if not for Chris. So we know where Drew Brees can send his hate mail. But, you know. I
feel like I did a service to this organization. Thank you.
Expand on that, please, because he showed up pretty well on a number of our ballots.
You know why he didn't make my top 10?
Why?
Like he did for a lot of folks.
Why?
Because I'm looking at what Sean Payton is doing in Denver with Bo Nix, and I have to start to wonder about Drew Brees.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I will say this too, and as much as I'm complimentary of what Drew Brees did on field, and I think he threads the needle as both a winner and a huge stat guy, I was very critical of him at the time, particularly in the later years in New Orleans, the cap problems they were having. Now, again, this has been a front office that, I mean, even when they were winning big, they didn't know how to manage the cap. They were always like really top heavy, and that's why their defense was like middle of the pack, if they were lucky, usually not even that. But like, as much as Brady was like trying to defer money and make it easier and whatever, Drew Brees was like, screw you guys, I'm going to get mine. And I didn't like that. I don't remember. They had an offensive guard that was really good. I don't remember who it was. But he ended up being a cap casualty basically because Brees wasn't willing to take a haircut. So, I mean.
Was it now, Willie was that, Rove? Willie
it might Rove? Have, it might have been. It might have been. Yeah, that's ringing a bell. Now, Chris, philosophically, where do you come down on that? Is that another thing you'd hold against him? Because I didn't for these purposes, but I could have.
It's stuff like that. And I remember that at the time thinking, you dummy.
That's the guy protecting you.
Well, and again, it's also this idea of, like, you know, Brady took a haircut again and again to make sure that he had the best team around him, right? I mean, he made sacrifices. Now, again, he was married to a supermodel who made $1 billion a year, and he didn't really care. Yeah. I understand Drew Brees wanting all the money he can get. You know, Kobe did the same thing at the end of the Lakers, right? He could have taken less, built a better team around him, and he said, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But nobody holds that against Kobe. Right. So I didn't use contracts and stuff and pay as part of my rating system at all, because in terms of eras, that is completely unworkable, right? I mean,
yes,
you know, half the guys on your list, Rick, probably had other jobs in the offseason bagging groceries and doing lumbering and, you know, God only knows what.
Oh, yeah, selling contract work, concrete work.
I didn't touch that at all.
Okay. Yeah, and that's why I didn't either, because it's really kind of hard to figure as far as how that goes. An honorable mention before we move on, Ben, any thoughts from you and then from Johnny?
I think overall too, Rick, it's very interesting, especially now with newer quarterbacks, like based on either their personality or based on, you know, their recent team success, how much we weigh that against prior eras, because I feel like, you know, we're in a different age. We have social media. We have all these things now. Mm-hmm. So I am kind of surprised to see, you know, some of these names that probably will be higher up in the near future be on this list. But I think if you just look at the top 10 overall, it seems fair to me. I don't see anyone on that list that I'm like, oh my God, this is a huge misjustice that they're not in the top 10. So I think overall, I think everyone did a really good job.
Yeah, yeah, I'm proud of the integrity of how the collective balloting ended up coming out. Johnny, your thoughts before we start to work our way up the top 10?
I would have liked to have seen Moon rather than Bradshaw, but the numbers are the numbers. It's nice to see Kurt Warner there. I would say a big if, and this is just interesting to see how this would have played out. You know, had New Orleans not been a victim of that horrible interference non-call, we would have not only been privy to a great Super Bowl between New Orleans and New England, but we would have possibly seen another Super Bowl for Brees. Who knows? So that would have been interesting to see had that outcome been different. Would he make the top 10? I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. But again, sadly enough, the great Todd Gurley basically reduced to using a walker essentially at that point. So yeah,
horrible Super Bowl too. I mean, from a objective fan standpoint, certainly.
I think we both fell asleep at Benick's party that year, Johnny. I think we were both sawing Z's in the second half at that one. The top 10 here, I guess I'm just going to sort of take this in chunks because it's relatively close, as you can see, through a period of time. It's relatively close even between Aaron Rodgers at number 10 at 288 and, again, Drew Brees at 252 because, again, with one ballot to go, Drew Brees was in eighth place and slipped all the way back to the top of the honorable mention. But working our way up here, Aaron Rodgers, 288 points, narrowly above him, Steve Young, 295, Dan Marino, 318 in eighth place, Johnny Unitas, 324 in seventh place, Patrick Mahomes, 327 in sixth place, Otto Graham 342 in fifth place. And I will say, Otto Graham and Johnny Unitas in particular, I despaired of seeing them on the list. And I'm so happy that they are because, again, that whole thing of like, well, I never saw him play. And I didn't, you know, again, people use their own criteria and I didn't know how that was going to go. But like, I'm like, well, okay, I need to be the token guy that puts them on my lists. So I'm very happy they showed up there. And I'm very happy Steve Young made it. Steve Young, I was very dubious that he would make it. And he ended up doing very well on the ballots because it's a guy where, again, it was mentioned before, well, Warren Moon, you know, some of his best years were in the CFL. Well, again, Steve Young starts off in the USFL, then ends up being the backup to Joe Montana, himself one of the very best of all time. So, and then the back end of his career cut short by concussions. But in between, man, that 91 to 94 stretch, I don't think you'll ever find a quarterback that played better for 4 years. And a guy who, again, the league for decades has been trying to move to, like, man, if only there could be a mobile quarterback who could also be a great passer or a pocket passer. A lot of them have been one or the other. And a lot of the great quarterbacks that are mobile have never – great mobile quarterbacks have never been pocket passers. I this is kind of a, you know, joke here, but like, who's the greatest black quarterback of all time? Steve Young. Because when people say black quarterback, I think they mean it stylistically as much as literally. If you're talking stylistically, who's ever done it better than Steve Young? So for him to be on the list, I'm extremely gratified. Steve Young, Unitas, and Otto Graham in particular, didn't think I'd see it. I'm seeing it. I'm grateful for that. Chris, your thoughts
that,
on
as we move... Does that mean that you agree Bill Clinton was the first black president?
He could be, yeah, stylistically, right? Stylistically. He played the sax with sunglasses on. What more do you want, right? I mean, we have to stop being so literal about these things, don't we? So your thoughts on the list from 10 moving to 5 here?
You going to me?
Yeah.
I mean, really have any fault with it other than, you know, just sort of the movement. I mean, these are all guys I have on my list, right? It's about where in your top 10. So I mean, this list, this top 10 list is very close to mine, with the exception of John Elway. So it's, you know, and again, Elway was a guy I struggled with. I could have argued myself into putting him in, you know, that 5-6 range. I think I kind of came out with him around, you know, like 11, 12, somewhere there. But again, that gap between those is so narrow. It becomes very, you know, selective, personally judgmentally in terms of like, well, you're really splitting hairs. You know, in the same way, you know, I agree. Steve Young is in my top 10 because of that 4 years you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that was it's the best quarterback play I've ever seen, top to bottom, week in and week out, over a four-year stretch, was from Steve Young. It was magical. I mean, the stuff that he was doing and performing, right? And in some ways, you know, you could even, like, say, like, you know, had he been able to keep his career going, we might have looked back one day at Andrew Luck the same way.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been like, boy, that 3-4 year stretch with Andrew Luck, you know, and God, it was amazing, right? But of course,
he
had his own personal health and well-being, and he bailed out. But so he'll never make these lists. But I kind of view him similarly, like he could have maybe been a guy like Young who sneaks in there. You know, Young was, you know, again, USFL and back in Montana and all the rest of that. You know, a lot of time was wasted where maybe Steve Young would have moved up this list.
Yes. You know, I've
gone straight into the NFL and started right away and didn't have to back up one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He himself might have been up 4 or 5 more slots on this list, if not even, you know, into that sort of replacing Montana on the list. So I don't have an issue with this entire top 10 because, again, most of them are my top 10.
Well, in terms of who had who in the top 10 here, I'm just going to list off here how many of us had quarterbacks on our list that ended up in the top 10. I had 9. I'll just tell you off the top of my head that so Drew Brees, I had in my top 10. Aaron Rodgers, I didn't. The rest of these, I don't know off the top of my head. Mike Puchakowski had 7. Derek Allen had 7. Tom Denk had 8. Ron Glasnap had 8. Steve Cervillo had 6. Ben, you had 6. Johnny, you had 8. And Chris, you had 9. So Chris and I were very, very close to our lists being the same as these lists here. And again, happy to hear the name Andrew Luck come up. Because again, is he ever going to make one of these lists or even an others receiving votes? Probably not. For the most he's ever going to get is others receiving votes, and probably not even that. But like, yes, he should get talked about for how great he was when he was playing and what he was working towards before, you know, the bottom fell out health-wise and, you know, perhaps psyche-wise as far as dealing with the health. I think that was part of it as well. So, Ben, your thoughts about the 10 to 5 stretch here? It was a really chunk of the list here where there was a lot of, you know, volatility here, a lot of mobility as the ballots would come in. You'd see a lot of shuffling in this range between these guys.
Right, and at this time too, like I feel like if you look at the list from 5 through 10, I think that there's no one I would take off of that list, to be honest. So it feels like to me it's pretty solid. And again, to go off of Chris's point, like Steve Young in one of those NFC Championship games got a really bad break on a bad pass interference call that could have given the 49ers like a very early lead. They probably would have won that NFC Championship. So, I mean, you look back and you see too. My thing too with Johnny Unitas is that he is one of the all-time legends. And like you said too, Rick, it's very hard to place him.
Yes.
Because his statistics, if you look at it based on like future versions of the NFL, like if he was playing today, could he throw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, barely any picks? I don't doubt that one bit. It's just there are certain guys in certain decades, it's just very hard to move guys over and make that assessment based on, you know, how they would do in a, you know, a fictional universe where all these guys were in their prime and they all followed the same set of rules and restrictions.
Yeah. And it's, and again, my willingness on past Pantheon segments to vote for guys from way back in there, and a lot of times getting called the historical hipster for doing so, that's where I was just really, I'm like, oh, Graham's not going to make the top 10. Johnny Unitas is not going to make the top 10. So I was like, I'm very, very happy that it ended up being the case because I feel like they certainly deserve to be here. And I know, Johnny, again, so many of your guys showed up in this stretch here. And I know you must have some thoughts about this 5 to 10 stretch, which arguably is the most important or interesting, I should say. Arguably the most interesting, the most intriguing stretch of the entire voting might have come between 5 and 10.
Yeah, it quite diverse with the way things were moving around. Certainly, I wish I kind of had seen and known a little more about Johnny Unitas. He may have gone higher up my list. The Steve Young thing is just fascinating because, you know, he did play also in that transition when they lost Jerry Rice. And I think Owens was just coming into his own. So there was that. He had to kind of weather that storm as well. The Rodgers thing is interesting. These Green Bay quarterbacks, they all have a story. They go elsewhere, and we'll see how this is going to work out. But again, you can't go wrong with this list. Fascinating that of the 135 entries, we all kind of centered on 31 names.
That's kind of amazing. I mean, because I think it was you I was talking to during the week, right? And didn't I say guess how many are in so far? And like, it was like, I think at the time it was like 30. I think there was like only one more name that showed up after that. And it was just like, it's kind of incredible the concentration that there ended up being. I thought there'd be a little bit more kind of spread out as we go through. But as we get to the creme de la creme here, the top of this here, you get to a couple of different tiers if you're looking at the separation in the numbers. Because at number 5, Otto Graham, you could call that one continuous tier from 5 to 10 as far as the connectivity of that. 342 for Otto Graham in 5th place down to Aaron Rodgers, 288 in 10th place. But it's a jump up from there. John Elway, 475 points in 4th place. Peyton Manning, 545 points in 3rd place. Joe Montana, 768 in 2nd place. And Tom Brady, 854 in 1st place. What's interesting is, so my rudimentary grasp of math tells me that 9 guys times 100 for first place, the tops that you could get is 900. And honestly, I kind of thought Tom Brady was going to be hugging that 900 number a little closer than he was. There were a couple of different ballots. I think there was at least 2 that had Joe Montana over him. So it's interesting that our group of voters here didn't necessarily, collectively, diverge from what the conventional wisdom is, because the conventional wisdom probably out there is Brady 1, Montana 2, and then you start to get into a real shuffle from there. But it ended up being a little bit closer than I thought it would be. And you get to where there's a differential of, 86 points, I think, 80, between the two of them. That for it to have been less than 100 is at least a mild surprise to me. So I'll start with you, Chris. Like, your thoughts as we're looking at the top of the top 10 here and the way that it shakes out, if you had any kind of surprises, even if they were milder ones, on how this materialized.
Really, gentlemen, I mean, it kind of goes in line with what I just said earlier about the bottom 5 of the top 10. Again, the eye of the beholder, none of this surprised me. I expected Tom Brady to come out on top just based on the number of rings, the amount of winning, the statistics, the sort of universal adulation from the public and the media that he is the quote-unquote GOAT. For me, it became, okay, who's going to be that 2 through 5, right? Who are the people that everyone's, most people, I didn't, but most people put Tom Brady as number one. And I figured then it's like, really, then who's that number two? Do people, you know, do they gravitate to Joe Montana again because of the success? Certainly not because of the physical prowess, right? But the track record of success. I mean, even in, when he was in Kansas City, Montana was playing at a high level.
Yes.
And so nothing that you've outlined here in terms of the point system, which again, I would commend you, was a great way to sort of rank everybody.
Thank you.
My only thing is that I think if people go back and they watch Otto Graham games or highlights, okay, mm-hmm. I think if you watch him play and you think about that in context of the modern NFL offense and the modern rules and protection of the quarterback, I think a lot of people would have him even higher, because you can see when you watch him play how his game today would translate to today, and he would be the Mahomes of today, how people think of him, you know, in terms of just dynamic and amazing. He'd be like a Mahomes, Lamar Jackson-y type of guy that could, you know, throw accurately, you know, versus Jackson, who really can't. I think that people would actually then maybe weight Graham a lot differently if they look at those clips and then think about the game today. I suspected that he'd be one or two.
Very possibly, yeah. And again, Otto Graham being in the top five, again, so very, very gratifying to me, because like I said, unexpected. I just, the way that the balloting shook out, and again, like I said, you know, this could lead to a joke between Johnny and I, the fact that 9 of my guys made it. Johnny, you're like, well, of course you think it's a great list. But but that's how we're all geared. That's how we all look at these things here. I guess I'm just a little more forthright about that than a lot of people. But
it was fifth because I made him first.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Right.
Props to you for that.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you putting him first, if you look at this here, 100 points. You were very instrumental to him being in the top five. Nobody was more instrumental to his top five status than you. So I appreciate you having slotted him where you did, just to prove that he gets that level of validation from us here. Ben, your thoughts about this? That this is where the breathing starts to get a little bit difficult in the altitude here. You start to get from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1, and again, what order they end up shaking out in, if these end up being necessarily the four guys that you would expect. Your thoughts on 1 through 4.
I mean, I'm not really super surprised just because these are all legendary quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But it's also very interesting in terms of like the Q score of these guys, Brady, Montana, Manning, and Elway. They've all had either documentaries or they've all had their own TV shows in recent memory.
Yeah.
So again, I am a little surprised always at 475, because I think he's a legendary quarterback, but he's also one of those guys I feel like very similar to Chris had benefited from, you know, Mike Shanahan's offense at that time. And Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharp. So
yeah,
it's very interesting, but it feels like the Q score of these guys are just so high because we just hear about them all the time. Like Montana's a little bit less, but he had an entire Peacock documentary about him recently. So it seems like a lot of these guys that we tend to remember the most get a lot of publicity, and they have these shows or these moments where we tend to remember them more than anything.
Oh, yeah. And that's where, and again, Mike Shanahan, this has been getting a lot of attention during the recent NFL hiring season starting up here, that, you know, if you look at the McVay tree, it's pretty substantial. But the McVay tree itself is an offshoot of the Mike Shanahan tree. That goes down as one of the most epic ones in the history of the league, right alongside when you look at Paul Brown, considering that, you know, Bill Walsh comes off the Paul Brown one, and look at how much stuff comes. And actually, Mike Shanahan from Paul Brown from Bill Walsh from Paul Brown. So seeing how these things all kind of play out in a historical sense, the Mike Shanahan tree is really, really impressive. And again, the guy who benefited from it the most, it seems like, is John Elway. No question about that. And so, Johnny, your thoughts as we circle it around here on the top four guys on the list, what you thought of it, if there were any surprises, anything you liked or didn't like?
Not surprising at all. I would say it'd be interesting just as a little caveat. I can tell you, I need one drive at the end of the game, I couldn't go wrong with the number one or two, you know, for sure. So, I mean, I would have liked to seen Otto Graham some more in terms of end of games, how that worked. Could he master a drive? Certainly put up the numbers and won games. Elway at the end of his career could put together a drive to get a win. Manning, you know, he had his issues, but when he certainly won with Denver. So, but yeah, can't go wrong with one or two. If let's say you need that game winning drive, they've both proven it. So,
yeah, truly remarkable players atop a remarkable list and a project that came together here. Because as I was thinking about this, that I do some studies occasionally here as I'm trying to market some things with the FDH Lounge as far as subject matter. It is meant to be the show where nothing is off topic. That's what we launched it as 19 years ago. But invariably, there will be some topics that come up more than others. The one that has been featured the most over a period of time is football in different forms. Number two has been TV reviews, and number three has been pro wrestling, and everything kind of falls back from there. So whether it be basketball, whether it be news and politics, any of the other subjects, but the big three have been those, and the biggest part of the big three, probably about a third, I think, of all, almost about a third of all the segments we've ever done have been on football. So this is one of the most natural subject matters for us to fall back into. On the 19th anniversary is to take a look here. And this was something that I'd been meaning to do for a period of time to reprise what we did with the NBA, with the top 10 players of all time. In the NFL, I think you want to focus it towards the quarterbacks, because if you're going across positions, and especially offense and defense, that's where it really tends to feel like apples and oranges. In the NFL, we just saw a situation where a guy set the all-time sack record for a five-win team. So how do you measure, you know, the impact on wins and losses from, you know, things like that. So, as far as any additional thoughts that we didn't get to for our top 10 voting, I'll just take it around the horn one more time, and I'll start with you, Chris.
I can't wait for our top 10 offensive linemen of all time episode.
That'll be amazeballs.
And then everybody trying to figure out the metric on that thing. Is it about winning? How many sacks do they allow? I guess my point is that's where these things are subjective. It's difficult. I do think it's interesting that most of the votes really zeroed in on like 31 guys. So if you wanted to do your top 30 list, well, there you go. You got it.
Yeah.
You know,
remarkable.
There's a broad range of individuals and how we think that we're in this, polling, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's really revealing.
Yeah. Only 31 guys. I mean, that to me is the most surprising part of this. I would have figured 50 at a minimum. I really would have thought that. I mean, it is kind of remarkable that we gravitate and some guys wanted to go, you know, like Steve Cirillo didn't go like necessarily like far back in time, but he wasn't including any players that had played recently. Derek Allen was skewing more towards the recent guys. So you had a number of different criteria coming into play, and it still was within a range of 31 quarterbacks. That's the thing I think I marvel at the most out of this. Ben, your thoughts on this?
I mean, my thing too is when we ever do any of these top 10 lists, whether it's for the anniversary or for any of these like other episodes that you've done, Rick, is there's going to be a handful of guys right now that are either coming into the league or currently in the league who are going to get into that potential top 10, top 15, top 20 that we didn't even discuss. But I feel like too, one thing about the list is that especially with greatness, I think it's not, I know it surprised you, but I'm also not surprised because there's a, with the, I would say the whole, you know, myth and the persona of being an NFL quarterback, there's only a handful of guys that come to mind in most situations. So it's going to be very interesting to see if anyone from the, I guess we're coming off of the Mahomes generation going into the next generation of guys coming up.
Yeah, and you're right about that. A lot of the same names do kind of tend to come up. But then it's just there's always the potential for somebody to pull one out of their ass, like, hey, what about this guy? And I would have thought that there would have been more of that, and it really didn't kind of come up as much. There were a few instances, but there can't be that many instances if there's only 31 quarterbacks getting mentioned across 9 ballots. So additional thoughts from you, Johnny?
Well, I would like to do a little top five, maybe of quarterbacks that have won one Super Bowl only. It would be interesting to kind of rank them. And of course, perhaps we could visit top five coaches of all time and maybe top five overrated coaches. I mean, you can anticipate one of my overrated coaches on the list already, I'm sure, Richard. So, you know. One-hand read, but not to muddy up that, would be fascinating to do a top 30 as Chris mentioned as well. So
absolutely. Well, and again, and this is a thing where there have been past panels that have combined parts of this panel, but not all of it. We've never done it with these four previously, but this cannot possibly be the last time. We'll have to do a panel with this four on something else coming up. And based on scheduling and availability, if everybody can make it, again, NFL draft night, if nothing else, we're going to be doing that again, going coast to coast. So look forward to getting in the dignitaries for that one. Guys, thank you so much for being here for this 19th anniversary show. You guys have all been such a huge part of the FDH Lounge over a period of time, and it is much appreciated. And again, thank you to everyone who voted in our balloting here for the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. And this has just been such a wonderful way to celebrate the 19th anniversary of a show that has absolutely meant the world to me and been probably my favorite project that I've ever been involved with. So again, thank you guys for being a part of it and helping to make it happen. And thank you all, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1900.